But I love to fellowship with the saints of God and feel the Spirit of God with the saints of God. Hallelujah. And it's a real privilege to be here tonight and fellowship with the saints of God and to have opportunity to minister here in the beautiful building that you have and to see a lot of people that we haven't had a chance to see in a long time. Now, I hope you enjoyed the singing of Brother Al Gonzalez, and truly, he and his wife, Nobby, and the children have spent a lot of time in Old Mexico living in the dust in the place where they live. I'm afraid that some of you wouldn't want to live.
No.
In one little room with a straw top to it and no screens over the windows and mosquitoes coming with the flocks, you know, like herds and snakes and lions and everything else and nothing but dust and one tiny little room for years right there in that one little dusty place. But anyway, they did it because they loved Jesus.
Yes,
because they loved Jesus. Now, on the other side, there'll be a reward for that, don't you think?
Yes,
way?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
All be wrote up, every man rewarded according as his work shall be. Now, he sang that song tonight. We've got some records. We don't have them with us tonight, but we've got some family album records. It's on some of the radio stations. The title of it is The Family of God. And tomorrow night, if the Lord's will, maybe we'll have a few of them to give to some of them that would love to have it. We don't spend our time selling literature, nor selling records or anything that we got. The Bible said freely receive and freely give. And that's
Amen.
The way you do it. And our cup runs over. We have a plenty for ourselves, and we have enough to share with others.
Amen.
God always makes it in. I believe that's an operation of faith. I made the statement here not too long ago, and I still stand by it, that when Jesus said, take up thy cross and follow me, for a lot of people, they kind of mistranslated that, and it sounded more like he said, take up the offering and follow me.
Yeah.
And so everybody goes around taking their offering up. Well, we don't do that. We just let you give like you want to, if you want to, and if you don't, well, that's all right too. Because I believe that if God is in a thing, then it'll go over.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right, brother.
Hallelujah. I appreciate everything that you do, and God bless you for all that you do. And I want to say especially that I thank God for you being out here tonight. May the Lord bless you. Now I'd like to speak to you just a little bit, exhort you from the Word of God, and I hope that tonight that there will be something that will be said that might benefit you. Hallelujah. In the first chapter of Peter, I'd like for you to read from the fourth verse. Whereby are given unto us exceeding and precious promises, that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, this is found over in the book of Peter in the first chapter. And here in these readings, there is some of the most precious things outlined that I have ever been privileged to read in the Bible. He tells us in these writings that he has given us all things that pertain unto life.
Yes.
All things, according as he has given us all things that pertain unto life, through his divine power. In the 8th verse just above, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. This is in the 8th verse. And this is reading from the first chapter. And tonight, I'd like to dwell just a few minutes, if I could, in kind of a preaching, teaching sort of a way tonight on this subject. Last night, we just exhorted you a little bit and we let you go home. They call it Blue Monday. It wasn't really too blue to me. I really enjoyed last night. And I'm sure that some of you did. I hope you did. But tonight, I'd like to take just a few more minutes. Brother Pete Nim is giving us a little extra time tonight. And I appreciate that for the word. And I believe that we can get the message over and still not hold you late. And you'll be able to go home early tonight. All right, now notice here, the first thing that Peter is telling us, that God has given us all things that pertain unto life.
Yes.
All things that pertain unto life. That's a great big mouthful.
Yes.
When you speak of all things that pertain unto life, that God has given us all things that pertain unto life, That's a wonderful, wonderful statement. Because the whole world is looking for life. Everybody is looking for life. Some of them is looking for life down along the beaches. Some of them's got yachts out in the middle of the ocean or out in the bay looking for life. Some's at football games and basketball games looking for life. Some is doubling up on their jobs trying to make extra money looking for life. Some's vacationing around the world. Some is in sex parties. Some is having banquets and all of these things. Some are going to college. But everybody is looking for life. Scientists is continually searching for a way to bury life or to preserve life. Always looking, and the Bible tells us that they are constantly learning, or ever learning, as the writer said, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They're ever learning, but they're never able to come to the truth knowledge. There is a truth knowledge in the world. And that truth knowledge God has placed in our midst, but a lot of people are ever learning and they never discover this great truth. Now you might say, Brother Pike, why is it that they never discover the truth? This is what I want to talk about tonight. There is a reason why there is no power in the church today. Now you say, you don't believe there's any power in the church today? I know that we got a lot of make-believe in the church. I'm speaking of real apostolic power, real genuine proof of God working in the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, it's hard to find that today. You can travel from coast to coast and you can look here and there, but when you really find the power of God and the real Spirit of God, you've really done something. And so then there is a reason why it's not in the church today. And Peter outlines it here where he speaks of God giving us all things that pertain unto life. Then we are made to wonder why we don't have the power, why we don't have the life, why we don't have the blessings when we have everything in the world that looks like a form of life. And yet people are dying. More people are dying than ever before. Yet we've got more medicines. But the Bible said in that day there would be no healing medicines. And you might run to the doctor, but you've got to do something for God if you expect to find life. God is the Spirit of life, and He's given us the laws of life. And as I spoke last night, if we can make our life to conform to the laws of life, then we'll know how to preserve life. But there is a reason why the church doesn't have the fullness of the Spirit, of the fullness of the life of Jesus Christ within it today. That is a reason. One of the reasons is because the church world has conformed too much to the ways of the world. The church has conformed too much to the ways of the world. That's where they lost Jesus. The Bible said if the love of the world's in you, the love of the Father's not there. That's the first thing. When you got the love of the world, you're automatically an enemy to God, because the Bible said the carnal mind is an enmity with God. It's a kind, it's a continual warfare between the body and the soul. And Paul tells us that we are to abstain from the fleshly lust that worketh against the soul. He tells us here in the book of Peter, the writer does here, he tells us that the trouble is because of lust to begin with. How did sin get in the world? Through the garden, by the tree of knowledge, came through lust. Is that right? The lust of the flesh caused it. It came through the lust of the flesh. He said the sin that is in the world by lust, the corruption that's in the world. How does men's brothers run out with cancer? Why does men lose their mind? Why is insanity in the world? Why are there cripples? Why are there drunkards? Why is there harlots? Why is the spiritual and the natural corruption in the world today? It's because of lust. It's because of lust. The Bible said the reason we have wars, Brother Pete, is because of lust. You have lust in your members, boy. And from this comes forth the wars that are abroad. It starts from the lust of the flesh. Men no power. That causes a lust to get into the body. And then when this thing gets into the body, it causes trouble. Look at Alexander the Great. Why did he go out like he did? Because he had a lust. He had a lust. He wanted to establish something that wasn't according to the Bible. And he went out and began to try to conquer the lust of the flesh, cause war even in his day, and cause great disturbance in their lives were lost even in his day because of the lust that was in his flesh that was roaring in that day, trying to establish what the history tells us as the Hellenistic religion across the world, some conviction of his own lust rather than the knowledge of the truth, instead of trying to carry the word of God that we ought to be doing in this day, in that day, kind of paganistic thing. The same thing that they're doing today, ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of truth. Teaching for doctrine, the doctrines of men, teaching that for the doctrine of God, teaching disciplines, ideology, denominationalism, and everything except God's word. That's where the wars come from. That's where your sons have to die. That's why your daughters are turning out to be prostitutes. That's why beatniks are roaming the world. It's because they don't have the knowledge of the truth.
Amen.
Praise God. When God gave them the truth, they didn't have a love for it. And God turned them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie and to be damned. The world today is in need of the truth. What has happened? The church has let her standards down. The church is let down, and because of that, the world is lost. The church has let her standards down. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? The church is not spoken against anymore. It's real popular. It's not bad to be a Christian anymore as far as the world's concerned. Everybody wants to be religious. But you know what they said of it in the days of Paul? When Paul went over to Rome, they said, how about telling us something about this religion? He said, we know that every prayer is spoken against. And we'd like to hear something about it. My brother and my sister, when the world spoke against this thing, we had power in the church. We wasn't conforming to the church when they had a testimony against us. There was power in the midst of the church. Hallelujah. When they were persecuted, there was power in the church. But when we decided that we want to be like the world, then something happened to us. Amen. They said, we know this is spoken against everywhere. Everywhere you go, they speak against this sect. And then Peter, I tell this in his writings here, that the church has lost its virtue. Yeah. It's lost its faith. Yeah. It's lost its knowledge of God. Yeah. It's lost its temperance. It's lost its patience. It's lost its brotherly love. It's lost its godliness. It's lost its charity. And he said it's barren today and unfruitful because of these things. Not only that, but Paul, Peter said in his writings, they that can't see these things are blind. Blind. Today we're in that Laodicean age. The word that means people's rights. Everybody's struggling for their rights. The woman wants their rights. The red man wants his rights. The yellow man wants his rights. Everybody wants their rights in this day. But we need to try to get God's rights. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. It's a day wherein they say we're rich and have need of nothing. When the Bible says you know not that you're wretched, that you're naked, and that you are blind. You say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I'm blind? My brother, if you don't have faith, real, genuine faith, I don't mean something that you thought up in your head, but the Bible said the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. If you don't have faith, and then the Bible tells us that if we don't have the virtues of God, the virtues of God, then we're blind, that we can't see afar off. If we don't have these blind or these virtues, then we're blind and living in a little environment of our own thinking. That's as far as we can see. Have no vision for eternity. Have no vision for things to come. He said, they that lack these things are barren. They're unfruitful. They're blind and can't see afar off. Why is the church barren? Why is it unfruitful? Why is it that these things exist? Because they've let down the standards of godliness. You can say something about holiness now, and people drop in a shell. It's no wonder God said, without holiness, no man would see the Lord. Because he is holiness. Now they go overseas, and they go to the Pope, and they say, you're holiness. But my friend, the Pope of Rome is not holiness. When you speak of his holiness, you're speaking of God eternal and almighty.
He's the one that's holy. And the Bible said for you to be holy, even as he is holy. Hallelujah. Praise God. When you got faith in God, you got something. When you got faith in God, you got something. And the Bible said if you got some faith, then add some virtue to it. Hallelujah. Add some virtue. The Bible said a virtuous woman's price is far beyond that of a ruby. You need some virtue, ladies. You need some virtue. Running around with many skirts and skirts left above your knees. You don't even have any virtue towards your own husband, let alone God. He said, add some virtue. Hallelujah to your faith. Be sanctified. They used to call it, John Wesley's day, when he started the Methodist Church, they used to call it old-fashioned sanctification. Hallelujah. Why the Methodist people back there wouldn't have dressed like some of the Pentecostal people of today? Amen. Call ourselves holiness. But the Bible said add some virtue. Put some virtue with your faith. Put some virtue! Hallelujah with your faith. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean? Sanctification. Get away from some of the filthy, ungodly things that you sit around and watch on your television screen. Those things are non-virtuous. Paul said, if anything be lovely, anything be virtuous, he said, think on these things. Anything that be pure. Those things are not lovely. Those things are not virtuous. Those things are not pure. And those things will send you to hell.
That's right.
Amen. Now, like the old Negro said, everybody's talking about heaven ain't going there. Amen. Not everyone that saith, Lord, Lord, shall inherit the kingdom of God, but he that doeth the will of the Father. He said, what's the will? Jesus said, lo, I come in the volume of the book, as it is written of me, O God, to do thy will. This is the will of God. This is the volume of the book. And the book says, add some virtue to your experience. Hallelujah. Amen. Add some virtue. What is virtue? When you quit gossiping. When you quit gossiping. When you get away from the gossip table. When you get away from those things out there that pertains to dipping and chewing and smoking, lying and cheating and swindling. When you get away from the fashion and thoughts of the world and get back to godliness.
Amen.
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 So then he said, add a little something to your faith. These preachers that get up and say, my brother, my sister, all you got to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. That's good. That's good. I ain't got nothing to say about it. That part of my brother's good. But it's going to take more than that. You're going to put some virtue in your faith. Amen. One writer said, can faith alone save you? No. No. Ask God has some virtue. What is virtue? Virtue. When Jesus went to heal the little woman over there, you know what happened? Somebody said, I wonder why we ain't got no healings in the church. I wonder why we just get prayed for and we don't never get healed. Somebody said, was that a preacher up there? He just ain't got no power. He don't believe. Well, that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons. But it's strange to me that the Lord Jesus Christ, naturally speaking, never even knew that woman was around anywhere. He was out there preaching a message. He didn't even know she was around anywhere as far as naturally speaking. That's why he didn't know she was in the crowd. As a matter of fact, it was contrary for her to be there. The law of Moses said she was to be stoned if she didn't come into congregation in that kind of condition. But she pressed her way through, hallelujah. And she got close to God. If some of you would get close to God, you get your healing. That's what brother healing. Hallelujah. She got close to God. Amen. There's virtue in God. It wasn't the Lord trying to find her. It wasn't Jesus trying to believe her. She used her faith in the Word of God. And the Word of God healed. You say, what healed? Virtue. Virtue. Hallelujah. The virtue came forth from the living Word and healed. The virtue came forth. Hallelujah. The Bible said when Peter preached to him down there at Cornelius's, that the Holy Ghost fell on him. Hallelujah, I felt the Holy Ghost fall last night. Since I've been here tonight, I felt the Holy Ghost fall. I felt the Holy Ghost fall. Said he preached the Word of God, and the Holy Ghost fell on him and heard it. Amen. Why? Because he had faith in what he preached. Amen. Praise God. But you know, you can have all the power you want, but you got to have a living receptacle to get some light. You got to either you just transform power all you want to, but if you got a dead receptacle, there ain't going to be no light in it. Somebody said, bless God, this ministry, this ministry, this ministry. But the Bible said the midnight cry that the virgin was asleep. It didn't say nothing about the watchmen's on the wall being asleep, they were asleep. It said that the virgins was asleep. It said the foolish virgins was asleep. It said the wise virgins was asleep. All of the church world was asleep at the midnight cry. When it said, behold, the bridegroom coming. Amen. Come on, sister. Come on, brother. You know I'm telling you the truth. You said, now, wait a minute, Brother Pot. You need to tell me I'm asleep? I'm asleep. All right, where's that beautiful long hair that used to hang down on your shoulders? Sounded me like you're getting kind of drowsy. The Bible said the government be upon his shoulders. And then the Bible, the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment to assemble the church, is that right? Then where is the government that rests on the shoulders of the church? Amen. She's a symbol. You know what it is? It's just one thing about it. What is it, Brother Pike? It's just one thing about it. It shows the condition of the world, of the church world today. Amen. Amen. Somebody said, now wait just a minute. He said, add to your faith some virgin. Get away from the Lord. Somebody said, well, I got to go down to the local beauty parlor every day and get my hair fixed. Well, sorry if you don't do that. It's your business. It's my business to preach the gospel. It's your business to get your hair curled. I'm telling you, you've got to walk according to the word. Amen. Amen. If you ever going the way God tells you, you got to have some virgin. So these preachers just said, all you got to do is just believe and everything's going to be all right. Just have faith, somebody says. Amen. If you have some virtue in your faith, if you have some virtue, nothing here, the Bible said have a little knowledge. Have a little knowledge. Somebody said, well, glory to God, I got some knowledge. Have some knowledge. Have some knowledge. What kind of knowledge you got? I know what the general gossip is. I have a good knowledge of what they're saying around the gossip table. I know what's going on in Vietnam because I read the papers. I know what the radio said because I heard it. I know what they're doing in Hollywood because I've been watching television and I got a knowledge of it. I know what the football game's going to be like. I know what the basketball game is. I know what's going on over the schoolhouse over here. Got plenty of knowledge, but it didn't say that kind of knowledge. That was the same kind of knowledge that overthrew Adam and Eve. It all started with a tree of knowledge. Somebody said, well, praise God. I think what we all do, all of us ought to go to college and get a good education. But if that's true, then why can we got so many beatniks? Why was it right here in Athens, Georgia, that they act like a bunch of heathens out there on the campus? If the tree of knowledge will do it, why is it turning out people into a bunch of heathens? My brother, this is the knowledge we need. Glory to God, this is what we need to know. This is the thing that's going to stop wars. This is the thing that's going to heal us. It's not far. The sun's going to be so cold and lost. Amen. It's God's knowledge. Amen. He said, add some knowledge. Let our president get back like George Washington was. Let him get back like Abraham Lincoln was. Amen. When he takes his textbook of the Bible, hallelujah, Lord Washington would be riding down through the trees and get off his horse and begin to talk to God. Let him get back like King David was. And then you have something that we can hold to. Hallelujah. A real heritage over God. Amen. We need some knowledge. Amen. The Bible said in the last days knowledge will increase. I feel religious people. I don't know whether people left something up here or not when they left, but I feel something. Amen. Glory to God, I feel something. That's not my nice of me. I feel something. Hallelujah. Maybe even fast. Maybe even pray. Maybe even add some virtue. But I feel something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Said we need a little knowledge. We need a little knowledge. Not what they're talking about down the corner grocery. But we need some knowledge of God. Hallelujah. You need to know something about Jesus. You need to know something about the Lord. Do you know what's going on in church? Hallelujah. Do you know what's going on in heaven? John said, behold, I saw these things in heaven. How long has it been since you took a look around in heaven? Or say, well, Pike, you're getting wild. The Bible said that we are not of this world, for he has chosen us out of this world and made us to sit together in the heavenly places. And we're hid with Christ in God. Restoring restitution of all things. Hallelujah. Like I had a vision not too long ago. And there I was up in heaven. I was looking around and saw these wonderful things happening. I turned around and looked down. And here was a group of people standing around me. And the Lord was talking to me. And I said, Father, I see these things. He said to me, he said, son, do you see these things? Oh, that was yes and no. I said, I see these things. I turned around to the people behind me. I said, folks, didn't we see them things? And they just looked at me with a blank expression. Amen. Jesus said, I do always the things I see the Father do. Are you in heaven? The Bible said John was watching what was going on in heaven. Are you in the Spirit tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. We need to do something, folks. You can fast all you want to. It's like an automobile. If you set fire to it, that is, if you have a firing system, a good firing order, have a battery full of fire, you may turn that loose, but if you ain't got no gasoline, there ain't going to be no power.
That's right.
Ain't going to be no power. You got to have some virtue. You got to have some virtue. But you get full of the Holy Ghost. The Bible said Pentecost, there was to tarry till they be endued with power from on high. Power from on high. What was the power? We said when the Holy Ghost comes, then you receive power. The original written was that you receive power when he comes. The King James Version says after he comes, but the original said when he comes. Hallelujah. Be endued with that power from on high. Have the Holy Ghost. Somebody said, Brother Pike, I've had the Holy Ghost for 40 years. Well, you know what you need to do? Is go into the wilderness and return in the power of the Spirit. Amen. The Bible said, I got faith in God. But the Bible said, Stephen was a man full of faith and power. He was full of faith and the Holy Ghost. Amen. We need to get back to the virtues that is in the Spirit, my brother and my sister, because the rapture is about to take place. The church world is asleep. They are asleep. I preach from coast to coast and in some of the islands of different countries, and the church world is asleep. It is asleep. Somebody said, I know them old folks out there, and I kept trying to tell y'all to get right with God. I know they're asleep, but my brother and sister in the Bible said that not only the foolish virgins were asleep, but the wise virgins were asleep. There's some of the people that has been wise in God that has gone to sleep. Gross darkness is covering the earth. Gross darkness is covering the earth. That's shown us by the Negroes that's coming out. Look at the Negroes covering the land. Look at them coming out. It's a symbol of gross darkness covering the earth. It's covering the earth today. Amen. What is it? What is it? Did you know that in Washington, there's just one tiny percentage of white left, and all of it other than that is Negroes. Now you say, you got something against the Negro? No. The Negro is a symbol of the church in the inner man that's in that brown captivity. But that outer man shows that darkness that's covering the earth in symbols and types and shadows and revelation. It shows the gross darkness that's covering the earth. And it's blotting out the light, my brother, my sister. The midnight cry is upon us. We cry, watchman upon the wall. I will set watchmen upon thy wall, who shall never hold their peace. Upon the wall the watchmen stood in the Old Testament, when they had the great walls that couldn't be penetrated around Israel, who was a symbol of the church. The church in the wilderness, these things happened by our admonition, right? Said. And where this great wall was, they couldn't penetrate it. And then they had the watchmen up there. And when the enemy would begin to get close to it, the watchman would cry out. And somebody would say, watchman, part of the night. And he'd call back, all is well. All is well. But if there was somebody getting too close to the wall, he would sound the alarm. And God said, I'll set watchmen upon thy wall that shall never hold their peace. But at the midnight cry, somebody cried out, behold, the bridegroom coming. Rise, trim your lamp, and go ye out to meet him. The church world asleep, but a cry is going forth. Arouse yourself, awake and trim your lamp. The bridegroom coming, go ye out to meet him.
Yes, my Lord, my God.
What is it? What is it? The church has gone to sleep. Some of them went to sleep with the all, I'm glad to say. I'm glad that some of them fell into this thing, not by desire, but by constraint of the world. I'm glad that some of them held on as long as they could. And then when the darkness got so great, their eyes got heavy, and they fell asleep. But they was trying with all their hand. But the opposition was too great. The odds was too many. The preacher got formal, and the church got formal. And what few saints of God was in there began to look like some kind of freak. And they said, we better conform to the rest of them. Because the preacher, he doesn't think we're in style anymore. And he doesn't want us in the church anymore. Unless we do the way the rest of them do. my sister, I'm glad that you went to sleep with the all, because some is coming forth to everlasting damnation and contempt, while others will come forth to everlasting life. All in your lamp. They sang that little song, give me all in my lamp. Give me all in my lamp, I pray. When they come forth from this great sleep and this great slumber. You say, Brother Pike, what are you trying to say? They took Jesus and they delivered him to Calvary. They took him and they nailed him to the cross. And there he was crucified for your sins and for my sins. And the deep sleep fell upon him. They took him and they laid him down in the sepulchre. But the Bible said that God suffered not his Holy One to see corruption, nor his soul to remain in hell. Amen. But he brought him forth. They tell me after 3 days the body will see corruption. But God brought him forth before the skin worms could work in the body. Now I want you to know, though the church world has been asleep, God likens one day to 1,000 years, and a day is 1,000 years with God. And though 2 days has passed by, 2,000 years since that crucifixion, and the church world is still asleep ever since they attacked him at Pentecost, ever since they crucified him there in 325 A.D. with their formalism and their rituals and their false doctrines. But this very day, he's crawling out of the dust. Hallelujah. He's raising it up in the power and in the spirit of Elias, bringing it forth for that great rapture, that great translation, that great catching away.
Amen.
Amen.
That's the truth.
Just on the verge of the worms getting into it. Just on the verge of the worms getting into it. He said, Brother Park, what do you mean? God looked down at Jacob and he said, thou worm Jacob, I will help thee. I will help thee. My friend, when you get your own knowledge into the doctrine of Jesus Christ, the bread's not wormy. When you get ideology into it, the manna's not wormy. God told him to get manna every day, didn't he? Fresh manna every day. Said you got to get a new experience with God every day. Said because his mercy is new every day. You got to get stirred up every day. You got to pray every day. You got to fast and seek God every day. You got to walk side by side with God every day. You got to get some knowledge from the Bible every day. You got to have some virtue to your experience with the kingdom of God. You got to do it every day if you expect to make it into the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God, it's so near. Amen. What? He said you need a little knowledge. The church needs a little knowledge. They got all kind of knowledge. But you can't. Did you know there's not enough? There is not enough virtue in some people to even have a conversation with them about God. You can go into their home and they'll talk to you about everything but God. You may stay there for 3 solid hours and they'll never mention the name of Jesus Christ. They might casually mention the church and invite you to the church and then pass on. But talking about Jesus, they don't know nothing about Jesus. They ain't got no knowledge of God. Now, if you want to talk about the football game, talk about what the television program was, talk about who's on the radio, or talk about their son, or their daughter, or their neighbor, or something else, they'll discuss that with you. That's right, we have plenty of knowledge. But the Bible said we need some knowledge of God. We need some knowledge of God. Amen. We need some knowledge of God. Hallelujah. He said we have a little faith. And then we got a little virtue. He said, then we add a little knowledge to it, then we'll be doing all right. Is that right?
Yeah.
Amen. And then he tells us we need to go a little farther than that, so we need some patience. We need a little patience. That's one reason the Spirit's not moving among us today, is because we don't have any patience, folks. No patience to fast. No patience to pray. No patience to study the Bible. No patience to talk about the things of God. No patience to sit and listen to the preach a full sermon. No patience to endure sound doctrine. We don't have enough patience to really keep us going in the Christian world. Amen. Paul, the people of this day had enough patience that they sat till midnight, and then after midnight they kept sitting and listened to the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God. Why? They had some patience. They had some patience. They were willing to listen to the Word of God. They wanted to escape the damnation that was coming upon the world. Even in their day, they had more patience than we got in the day that we had. Somebody said, well, what it is, Brother Pike, they just had more understanding back there. Well, I'll tell you what, if that be true, then you are in for the greater damnation. Because the Bible said the evening time there would be light, which means there's more light in your day than it was in that day.
And if there's more light in your day than that day, then God's going to require more out of you, because he said, who much is given, much is done. He said, that servant that knew to do his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. But he said, the servant that knew to do it did not know to do his Lord's will and did commit things right of his stripes shall be beaten with your shoe stripes. Amen. So then if you don't know more in the day that you're living in, that they know that day back there, there's something wrong with you, my brother. There's something wrong with you, my sister. Amen. You think the one that invented the jet's got more understanding than the fellow that made the Kitty Hawk? You think there's more understanding? Is that right? You think the people of this day that's building these great skyscrapers, that's putting up these great colleges, do you think they got more knowledge than those people had back there in that day? Well, then why don't you think we got more knowledge in this day of God than we had in that day? What's the matter with the church?
That's right.
Jesus said, couldn't you watch me in 1 hour? Got them hard and fast asleep. He said, we have need of some patience. Another thing, he said, we could use a little temperance.
Amen.
So we need some temperance, folks. Some temperance. I could use a little bit myself. Amen. So we need a little temperance. All you do is eat. Gotta eat in the morning. Eat. Everybody's house you go to, you gotta eat. Gotta have something to eat. Need a little bit of temperance. Amen. Some temperance. Some people eat themselves to death because they don't have no temperance. You're never gonna have the power of God in your life unless you have some temperance. The Bible said we gotta have some temperance. Somebody said, well, bless God, I'm sure glad that I'm skinny. Well, you need some temperance the other way. Amen. God can't use a frail, run-down body. You ought to use enough reason to go to the table sometimes. That's still intemperance. That don't prove nothing. Amen. So then we need some temperance. Somebody said, praise God. I ain't got that to worry about. I know you have it, but your trouble is you need some temperance with your tongue. You talk too much. Amen. That's where you need some temperance. Some people talk too much. You can't tell them nothing. I've had people that come to me, come over to my house, and I try to talk to them about God, and they'd start talking when they come in, and at 3 o'clock in the morning, they'd still be talking. And they wouldn't know no more when they left than they did when they come. Yet they said they come for help. What's the matter? They talk too much. Some people need some temperance. They talk too much. The Bible said, be quick to hear and slow to speak. Amen. Listen. When you come to the house of God, it said, be more ready to hear than give the sacrifice of food. Some people need some temperance. Is that right? The Bible said we have need of a little temperance. Some people need some temperance the other way around. Amen. That's right. Some people work too much. Now, this is a rarity. You don't find this too much. But we have got people who work too much. They want to work on this job. They want to double up on another job. And then they want to study on the side. And they want to do things in the world too much. Amen. We ought to do what's necessary to do to make a living and be content with food and raiment. That's all. That's all we need. The Bible said you didn't bring nothing in the world, so sure you ain't going to take nothing out. Amen. Solomon got vexed. He said, by wisdom, I've gotten all this wealth, and who knows what I'll leave it to food. That's what they're doing today. Men have worked and ruined their eyesight. They've ruined their health and they've ruined their nerves to get up a bunch of money and land and wealth to leave it to a bunch of beatniks or a bunch of fools to squander it away. Men have worked on jobs. I've been on jobs and seen them do it. When they could hardly put one foot before another. And I'd say, man, don't you need to stay at home? You don't need to be out here. He said, I'm trying to send my boy through college. Trying to get my girl through college. And so what happens? He gets them through college. And then what happens? Well, in college, they tell him, they say, now you're bright and you're brilliant. And we're up here to teach you that you ought to never have to work. Because when men go to college, they don't need to work. So when they come out of school, they say, I'm bright and I'm brilliant. And I don't want to work. So they become too lazy to work. And they wind up a beatnik. And you wind up a bum. And you wind up a drunkard. You say, Brother Pye, how do you know all these things? My dear sister and brother, I know because I've been with them. I know what they're doing. They're down on Skid Row. I've talked with them. I've found them at missions and different places. Bright, brilliant men, full of education, that wouldn't hardly hear a lick in a snake. Drunkards, dope addicts and everything else. Because they pressed their mind so that they had a case of nerves and couldn't find no relief. While Papa and Mama scraped and eat cornbread, to send them through college, that they might turn out to wear their hair way down here when the Bible says it's a shame for men to wear long hair. They have long hair. Somebody said, well, I don't wear long hair. I just got me a beard. Well, brother, long hair on your face or on your head, it don't make no difference. It's still long hair. Amen. The Bible says it's a shame. Somebody said, well, I praise God. I don't do nothing like that. No, mama, but one of the troubles is you wear little mini skirts and your little form-fitting clothes until Jimmy decided that you wasn't nothing but a religious proselyte and a hypocrite, and he didn't have no confidence in what you and Daddy said. Because Daddy cracked his little filthy jokes and went along with the boys. Until finally they lost confidence and they decided it better be a big thing. Somebody said them. Let me ask you a question. I know you say that bunch of nothing polluting our world. I'll tell you what, there's something that's gradually coming out of that bunch of nothing. Did you know that? Now that God has made them shameful, got them out of the system of the tree of knowledge, that walked that twisted tree of knowledge, got them out to somewhere and they got down the hot pins, they're beginning to reason among themselves, and now they come up with what they call the Jesus move. And they're beginning to see the thing that you didn't give them was what they needed. Amen. I've had some of them to come to me and tell me in just a few words that Daddy and Mama's trying to cram college here in my throat and I don't want none of it. Amen. Let's see what it done to some of the others. I think we need good common sense is what we need. Amen. Like I said not too long ago, all these Negroes rising up and causing trouble through the land. Years ago we didn't have that trouble. Why? Because it's out there behind the plow stop. It's out there where they can plow a field. It's out there where it can make a living. But when we got a bunch of educated people that's been told that they exposed the work, got them too lazy to work and they think somebody owes them a living, then they roam up and down the street going with another man's wife and breaking into stores and causing trouble, white, colored, white. Every nationality in it. What done it? The same walked up tree of knowledge that caused the trouble in the beginning. So what do we need? We need some knowledge of God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we need a little bit of godliness. I'm going to get through in just a few minutes. We need a little bit of godliness. The Bible said when you get a little temperance, don't work too much. Don't eat too much. Amen. Get a little bit of temperance. Don't talk too much. Then when we get a little temperance, it tells us that we need some godliness. We need some godliness. I'll tell you, if the church world today looks like the Lord Jesus Christ, then I must be a first-class hobo. Amen. If what I see looks like the Word of God, the Bible says we don't know what He looked like, but when He appears, we know that we'll be like Him, for we'll see Him as He is. As He really is, we'll see Him. The church world's fixing to see God as He really is. And He's not a mini skirt. That's right. He's not running around in the pants of the ladies. Ladies, I talk to someone, I say, lady, why can you wear pants like that? They say, well, all the job, we have to do it. Now, say we just can't afford to wear dresses. I agree with you. When you wear mini skirts on the job like that, I agree with you. You can't afford to bend over. You can't afford to move around without creating a disgrace. But who cares about disgrace if they really? The whole day is a disgrace. The whole age is disgraceful. Jesus said, a dangerous generation. Wearing pants. Somebody said, well, it's the day when we wear pantsuits. Amen. So Jesus Christ has changed now. No, we're living in the day when the Lord Jesus tells us we need a church of mini skirts now. And we need a church of pants. And over here at Pentecostal church, some girl went out with the shorts on. And it's the day we're living in, you know. So Jesus has changed now. He's modern. Is that right? The Bible said yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
The word went on to all generations. Isn't that right?
Yes.
So then somebody said, well, I said, ladies, why can you wear pants? The Bible said that it's an abomination for you to wear anything that pertains to a man. Oh, but they say these are made especially for women. Made especially for women. So they cut their hair off to look like a man. And then they put on the pants to look like a man. And then they give them a cigarette hung out of the lip to look like a man. And then start driving the car, and after a while, the old man might as well put him on a dress, because that's what they got him anyway. That's what the devil's always tried to do, is make a man out of a woman. so he could control the man. He's been trying ever since the world begun. Amen. That's right. Amen. What is it? You don't need to be wearing pants, lady. Somebody said, well, Brother Pine, I got to work. No, you don't. You don't need to be working. Amen. The Bible said for the woman to guard the house. Is that right? It said not to give place to the devil. Is that right? It said you're saved by faith in the word of God. Is that right? It said your faith is manifested by your deeds. Is that right? So then if faith in the word of God will, that he will tell you to pull those pants off, get back in your dress like you ought to, get off of that job and get over the house and guard the house. Man, why you gotta wear pants? Somebody said, well, I thought I had to wear pants. You do when you follow the practices of the devil. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, give me working on a job in the practice of the devil. That's exactly why we've got women that's prostitutes. They see the boss more than they see their husband, and they fall in love with the boss, and after a while their husband is a sideline. That's where all the corruption comes from. When grandma was back yonder in her kitchen, looking after her little flock back there, watching after her children wasn't being killed all around. They didn't become beatniks all around because mothers watched them. Today, mothers doesn't watch children. They'd rather send them to school because school has become somebody that can be a nursery and watch after the young ones while mama frolics. You can say amen or amen. We'll lie for both of them. Amen. So what is it? What is it? This is what's happening in the world today. Why? Because you don't have any godliness. You don't have any godliness. What is godliness? Being like the Word. The Word was made flesh. That was God in the flesh. When the Word's made flesh, that's godliness, my brother, my sister. Being like God. Amen. Doing what the Bible said. Manifesting God's Word in your flesh. Being holy in your body and spirit. Somebody said, I believe in being holy. The Bible said in your body and in your spirit. Man, we believe it's holy to walk around in pants. You know it ain't. That's what makes it so bad. Somebody said, I just can't understand why I can't get healed. I just got through telling you. Amen. Somebody said, I got a sickness and I just can't seem to get it healed. There ain't no healing medicines. I go to the doctor and consequently you spend everything you make over here. Everything you make over here on the job, you spend that at the doctor's, or driving back and forth to work, or getting somebody to try to watch your children and wind up in worse shape than you want to start in. Is that right? Is that right? Why? You need to put it home. Amen. God in your house. Now then, we need some godliness, folks. We need to get back to godliness. He said, add some godliness. Somebody said we don't shout anymore. We don't praise God anymore. We don't have any power anymore. Why? How in the world is God going to work in a temple like that? You go put you some pants on, bob your hair off, and somebody said, I don't believe in much rouge, but after all, I don't look too good, and I believe all rubbing a little. Well, that's all right. That's a good practice for dead folks. That's more proof than ever that the church is dead. I used to work at the funeral home, and that's what the undertaker does. When a man's dead, he just keeps rubbing and rubbing and rubbing, and rubs rouge into the face to make him look like he's alive when he's dead. That's why all of them have to cover their faces up with their false wigs and their false eyelashes and their false form-fitting clothes and everything else. It's because they're dead, twice dead and plucked up by the root, and cancer eaten up, and they don't have enough radiance of life to really look beautiful. But the Bible said God beautifies the meek with salvation. I don't think Eve needed anything to make her lovely to you. Why, anything you could have put on Eve's face would have took away from her beauty. My brother and sister, when you serve God, anything that you put on him will take away from your beauty. Amen. Amen. What do we need? We need a little godliness. We need a little godliness. He has one or two more things and we're going to quit. What else do we need? I'm telling you why the power is not in the church. A lot of folks say, well, I don't know why God don't do the same things he used to do. The Bible said he's the same yesterday, then, and forever. Now, if God is the same, then if you had to have those principles to operate on back there, then what kind of principles has he got to have today? If people had to live like that back there to get the power of God in the church and get the blessing of God in the church, then what have we got to do today? See, if we don't do the same things today, and God makes the line start, then he isn't the same yesterday being forever. If he's not the same yesterday being forever, then he lied. If he lied, then the Bible's no good. If the Bible's no good, the Bible will close up and go home at that time. Then we're just the fools that the world says we are. Amen? Yeah. So then we've got to go one way or the other. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right then, what do you say? Say we need a little brotherly kindness. Amen. Just a couple more things and we're going to close. A little brotherly kindness. What do we need, folks? A little brotherly kindness. We need a little brotherly kindness. A little brotherly kindness. You don't want brotherly kindness, is it? The way some of you sisters talk to each other, I wonder if you even know what kindness is at all. Amen. The way some of you brothers talk to each other, I wonder if you know anything about kindness. A little brotherly kindness. Amen. Somebody said, well, I speak real sweet to everybody I meet. My brother, brotherly kindness goes farther than that. Brotherly kindness will take a biscuit to a hungry man. Amen. Brotherly kindness will help take care of its neighbor. Amen. When it's in need. Brotherly kindness will stop and give a helping hand when folks need it. Amen. Brotherly kindness will go over sometimes and make up a bed for a sister that's sick. Amen. Or help a brother out by giving him a dollar. Amen. When he's in need and when he's out of work, where's our brotherly kindness? The Bible said to love not in word, but in deed, my brother and sister. Amen. James the writer said that if somebody come by your place and you say to them, I believe you're going to be all right. I believe you're going to be all right. Are you still right on? I believe you're going to be warned. I believe you're going to be filled. I believe God's going to take care of you. He said, what does this profit if you don't give him the things he needs? Amen. Now, so I said, well, we'll talk about that. You're taking it too far. If I got to share my substance, the Bible said, honor the Lord with his substance. Is that right? He said, your barns will be filled with plenty. He said, your presses will burst out with new wine like you did on Pentecost. Did he say that? Amen. And then he said, when you do these things to take the poor to your house and help them, he said, your health will return to you speedily. Amen. When you see other folks suffer, you will suffer. What do you need? Some brotherly kindness. Amen. Some brotherly kindness. Somebody said, well, I got to lay up a little money in the bank. You don't need no money in the bank. So I said, the day we're living in. Don't you believe that God could give them a whole freezer of food back there in the wilderness? If he could, why didn't he do it? Why did he tell them to get it every day? Why did he tell them? He said, as it is written, he that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered a little had no lack. Amen. People starving to death in Mexico. People starving to death in India. People that need help. And we console ourselves by saying, well, we can't help. What good will our little bit do? Your little bit, her little bit, his little bit, and their little bit will take care of the thing. How do you keep this church going right here? It's your little bit, and your little bit, and your little bit. Is that right? Amen. That's the same way you keep the gospel going, is your little bit. See, the thing is, I want to give my little bit. But I'm not giving my little bit to lose my blessing. The Bible said, whatsoever that man does shall prosper. He'd be like a tree planted by the water. His leaves won't wither up. Amen. Is that right? I would above all things that you prosper in health. That's God's blessing. He said, the blessing of God maketh rich and hath no sorrow. You can get rich in the world by cheating, swindling, cutting corners, but you're going to wind up with cancer, TB, heartache, sorrows, insanity. The world makes you rich, but there's sorrow, my brother. But the Bible said the blessing of God maketh the rich and there's no sorrow.
Yes.
Amen. One more thing here. The last thing he spoke of here is we need a little charity.
Hallelujah.
A little charity. Amen. He said you'd be sounding brass and tinkling cymbal if you didn't have a little charity. How do you believe we need a little charity?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Somebody said, you mean I ought to give somebody something? He said, though you give your body to be burned, you have not charity, it profit you nothing. So it must be something greater than that. It must be something greater than that, my brother. It must be something greater than that. Now, when we have natural love, we do a lot of those things for our natural brothers and sisters. Is that right? But the Bible speaks of charity. It said to greet each other with a kiss of charity. Isn't that right? Somebody said, well, does that mean I go over and smack them on the face? No. That's not a kiss of charity. That's a natural kiss. That's where I kiss my wife. That's where I kiss my children. That's not a kiss of charity. But when your spirit surrenders by submitting itself one to another. And your spirit kisses my spirit, and my spirit kisses your spirit in the love of God. That's a kiss of charity. Surrendered spirits, one melted and interwoven into another. Not coming to me and waiting until I submit to you. That's not a Christian life. Not coming to church and sitting out there with a critical attitude or a skeptical attitude, waiting for the preacher to take a bow to you or pass out a sugar tip to you. But coming into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise, entering in with humility of heart and coming in with divine submission, more ready to hear than give a sacrifice of fools, that when the preacher gets up here, that he can get a run and not have to wrestle with your spirits. Charity. Though you do all these other things and have not charity, you said you're sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Amen. Your testimony don't mean nothing. Why? Because you need charity. You need charity. You need the love of God, my friend, within your heart. You need the love of God within your spirit. You need a humble attitude. Humility goes before honor. He that lifted himself up, he that exalted himself, Jesus said, I'll put him back down. But he that gets down like Jesus did, he gave us an example, wash the brethren's feet. Somebody said, brother had a foot washing. My brother and sister, that wasn't no foot washing. That wasn't no foot washing. Jesus Christ just wanted to show humility to God up there and wash somebody's feet. You ever done it? Somebody said, well, they think I was crazy. I suppose they thought he was crazy too. Amen. Some of his friends said he done got beside himself. They even told Paul, said, you done lost your mind. So then where's the trouble today? I'm going to say this. God has given us all things that pertain unto life, but we've laid them aside, my friend. Laid them aside. Now I'm talking about things that pertain unto eternal life. Seek that. The other things of natural life be added unto you. Your cup of the Lord. Honor the Lord with his substance. He'll take care of the rest.
Yeah.
What is it? We know that this sect is spoken against throughout the world. That's when they had power. So you talking about them old long-haired women down there? Say, well, no, we're talking about them old long-haired men. Amen. Somebody said, well, can these men go around wearing long hair like that? Because God can't get the ladies to do it. It's a rebuke to the ladies. Amen. Somebody said, well, that's the reason I cut mine off, because I thought men thought I was pretty like that. Well, why can the men go to wearing long hair if they thought you were pretty with your short hair? Sound like somebody's mixed up, don't it? Will you stand up with me? The Lord rebuke us to our face, won't he?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. You love the Lord, sing.
Thank you.